I wish our bishop was here. I wish pastor was here. I don't like being up on a platform without my pastor. He is a comfort. And so, Bishop, you're watching. I love you. I miss you. We all love you. We miss you. And Happy New Year. We can't wait to see you back in the house of God and shepherding your people. Can I get the ushers to pass out the handouts? And make sure that everybody has pens, because they're going to want to write stuff down. There's blanks on there. What does that mean? It means you got to follow along. Amen? It's not homework. It's just follow along. Amen? But I hope tonight, amen, the food that you are about to receive blesses you as much as it did me while I was preparing, studying, and reading, and prayer for it. Because I tell you something right now. What I'm going to teach about is the attitude that I want to have for all of 2019. So welcome to 2019. Welcome to the first service of 2019. And as the ushers are passing out the handouts and pens and whatnot, I'm going to go ahead and get started. All right? You got your Bible? Got your Bibles? Got your seatbelts buckled? Ready to start here, right? All right, here we go. So there was a large dog. It happened to be a Great Dane. All right? Now, I've owned Great Danes, and they are big dogs. And this Great Dane, he walks into a butcher shop with a purse in his mouth. He takes that purse and he sets down in front of the butcher's counter, and he sets the purse down in front of it, and he sets down in front of it as well. And the butcher looks at him. He says, "What is it, boy?" The butcher, you know, and he says, "Do you want to buy some meat?" The dog goes, "Roof." "Okay, well, that's pretty good." The butcher says, "What kind of meat? Would you like some liver? Would you like some bacon?" "I know. How about some steak?" The dog barks. "Well, how much steak would you like to have? Would you like to have a half a pound? Maybe 3/4 of a pound? A full pound of steak?" The dog barks. Wow, man, the butcher was amazed by this dog. So the butcher wraps up the meat and he grabs the money out of the purse, and the dog grabs the meat and the purse, and he begins to walk off. Well, the butcher decides, "Well, you know what? I'm going to follow this dog, see where he goes." So the dog walks down the street and he enters into an apartment house. He climbs 3 flights of stairs to the 3rd floor, and he stops and begins scratching and pawing on a door. All of a sudden, the door swings open, and this man, angry man, starts yelling at him, "Oh, you dog, why can't you ever get anything right?" And the butcher says, "Wait a minute, stop, stop, stop. This dog happens to be the most intelligent dog that I have ever, ever seen." He says, "What are you talking about? Intelligent, this dog? No, he's not intelligent. Why, this is the 3rd time this week he's left the keys at home." Wow. That one, nosedive quick. Purse, money, barks, gets the meat, goes home, paws at the door. The owner's mad because he left the keys at home. Whew, wow. So let me ask you, was the angry man at the door, was he thankful? Was he thankful that what the dog had done? No. All right, so let me put this in contrast. Let me try another story. Maybe to redeem myself. So there's... easy now, easy. Okay, thank you, Damon. Thank you. Anybody else redeem myself here? Okay, we'll try it. So this lady named Pam, she worked downtown Chicago, okay? And every morning she encountered a heavyset woman with raggedy clothes and a shabby coat soliciting people for change in front of an old brick church. She greeted everyone with a smile and said, "Good morning." Pam almost always gave her something. And after almost a year of this routine, the woman in the shabby coat disappeared. Pam wondered what had happened to her. Then one beautiful day, she was back out in front of the church again, wearing the same old shabby clothes and the shabby coat. And as Pam reached into her purse for the usual donation, the woman stopped her and says, "Thank you, but I won't be needing that today. You won't see me here again." The woman goes, "Why?" She goes, "I'm proud to tell you that I have a job and no longer need to beg for food or for money." And with that, the woman in the shabby coat reached into a box and pulled out a donut and gave it to her. She had been standing at her old spot waiting, not for a handout, but for people she recognized so she could give each one of them a donut. Now let me ask you, do you think the woman in the shabby clothes was thankful? Absolutely. I believe that she was totally thankful and went back to thank everyone that had helped her along the way. Was that a better story? Okay, good. Whew. So tonight I would like to teach on the topic of an attitude of gratitude for 2019, all right? And we're going to take our text tonight from the healing of the 10 lepers, and I'm going to try to do a couple teaching points tonight for this year. So if you turn with me and stand with me for the reading of God's Word, turn to Luke chapter 17, and we'll begin in verse 11. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. Say amen when you're there. Amen. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, we're talking about Jesus now, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Amen. Would you say amen for the reading of God's word? Amen. And you may be seated. What a story. What a story. But it's more than a story, it's a reality. Amen? Sometimes I think that we read this story way too quickly. So let me slow it down and take time to picture it with me. So leprosy in biblical times was a terrible thing to have, right? We're not exactly sure what biblical leprosy was, but whatever it was, once a person caught it, it was considered incurable. And those diagnosed with leprosy were banned from society. So let's start with these 10 men that had the worst disease of their day. The physical ramifications of this disease are horrendous. Leprosy attacks the body. It leaves sores, missing fingers, missing toes, damaged limbs. And in many cases, the initial pain of leprosy gives way to something more terrible than that, a loss of sensation in nerve endings, leading to more damage to more of the body. The disease can take up to 30 years to run its course, and in that time span, the limbs can simply fall off. It is assuredly the most horrible disease of that time, and we have nearly an impossible task trying to fathom what it was like 2,000 years ago when medical treatment as we know it today was almost non-existent. So let me read to you about leprosy from the book of Leviticus. In the King James Version, it says, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall be his habitation. Now let me read it in a little more modern version. It says, the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt or bald, cover the lower part of his face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone and he must live outside of the camp. Think about that. You're shunned from all society, right? So the loathing directed at lepers was not merely for fear of disease. Leprosy made a person ritually unclean. To touch a leper defiled a Jew almost as much as touching a dead person, right? In a sense, leprosy was a sign of God's disfavor. So can you and I gain a new appreciation of how bad this disease must have been in the days of Christ? It wasn't just a grotesque damage or the attack to our sight. It wasn't just the loud cries and the attack to our hearing. It was the smell of rotting, decaying, dying flesh, overwhelming even our sense of smell. The emotional pain. Now, not just the physical pain, but the emotional pain of a leper, however, could have been even worse than the physical pain. He was removed from his family, from his community. There could be no contact whatsoever from his children, his grandchildren. Why, he was immediately removed from society. His wife couldn't even kiss him goodbye. And you know what? The leper wouldn't even allow it because of fear that she might catch the disease as well. Lepers tended to roam together looking for food, begging for assistance from great distances, learning to yell in loud voices, both for the need to warn others and to beg from across the way. Go back to the scripture. And from afar off, they were, "Master, Jesus, have mercy on us." They were loud. What would it have been like to have been removed from your friends and family for a lifetime? Not just a few days, not for a few months, not for a few years, but for a lifetime. And have to be forced to announce your uncleanness on a daily basis. Unclean! Unclean! All day long. It must have been horrible. Jewish practice prescribed that while lepers might attend synagogue, guess what? They had to be the first ones to enter, and they had to be the last ones to leave. There is no getting to church late. You're either there before everybody else gets there, and you stay until everybody else leaves. So when everybody else is mingling around, cohabitating and talking and having, all you got to wait in your nice little isolated area. See, they were made to stay in a compartment, isolated from the other worshipers. To the rabbis, though, the cure of leprosy was as difficult as raising a person from the dead. And in biblical history, I find only two examples of anybody being cured from leprosy. Miriam, right? Moses' sister, right? She was cured, but she had leprosy for 7 days as a punishment for speaking against Moses. And Naaman, we all know the story of Naaman, right? The general of the Syrian army, a Gentile of all things, right? When he obeyed Elijah's command to go wash in the River Jordan 7 times, he was cleansed of his leprosy. So there's a couple of teaching points I'd like to go through tonight. And the very first teaching point I'd like to go through is that be thankful even if you're in a difficult situation. Thank you. So be thankful even if you're in a difficult circumstance. There is no doubt that these lepers were in a very difficult situation. Now, you and I may not have leprosy today like they had it, but we all know what it's like to face some difficult situations in your life, to be uncertain of how it is going to work. Amen. Anybody been in one of those difficult situations? I mean, it just doesn't affect old people. It affects young people. It affects all of us at some point. We're in difficult situations at some point in our life. But did you notice that the lepers never asked Jesus to heal them, but rather they asked Jesus to have mercy, or better yet, have pity on us? They were looking to receive whatever it was that Jesus could give them. It could have been clothes. It could have been food. It could have been shelter. Or it could have even been healing. So here are four things that I want you to remember. Get ready to start filling in the blanks here. Here are four things that we need to remember about Jesus' mercy. God's mercy is for all of us. It's for all of us. It matters not your status. You can be rich, you can be poor, you can be sick, you can be well, you can be a man, you can be a woman, you can be a child. You can be white, you can be pink, purple, black. It doesn't matter. It's for all races. Jesus' mercy is for all of us. These were 10 lepers living in rejection because their disease, but yet God had mercy on them. Amen. So God's mercy is for all of us. The second thing I want you to remember, Jesus is there when we cry out for his mercy. And just as a leper had to cry out, unclean, unclean, we too cry out, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, what a sinner that I am. Jesus, have mercy on me. And his mercy, let me tell you, his mercy lifted me out of the ugliness of my sin. Amen. Amen. I mean, I was deep. And it lifted even me. Number three, Jesus delights in bestowing his mercy upon us. Jesus had compassion. Jesus had compassion. He was always compassionate. And may the Lord give me, may the Lord give you, may the Lord give us the compassion that he has for souls. And I too would more than likely be blessed by showing others mercy. That's one of my prayers. Let me be more merciful this year. Because God, a God of mercy, a mercy that renews every day, was merciful to me. Amen. And number four about his mercy, there is no delay in his mercy. There is no delay in his mercy. As quickly as we can cry out to him, he answers. Amen. He answers right away. He's an on-time God, and as soon as he hears his children, his mercy begins to flow. His mercy is renewed every morning. His mercy has no delay. In this case, he answers. His answer required obedience. Uh-oh, what? His answer required obedience in order for them to receive the blessing. Obedience to the Lord always brings blessing. What? It is more blessed. What? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. And so those four points. God's mercy is for all of us. Jesus is there when we cry out to him for his mercy. Jesus delights in his Jesus delights in bestowing his mercy upon us, and there is no delay. Now, so those are the things I want you to remember about his mercy, but here are four things that we can do while we're in these difficult circumstances. The very first one is we can acknowledge him in our difficult circumstances. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. So when we acknowledge him, you know, the Lord taught us to pray, right? This is the disciples' prayer. And he says, when you pray, pray after this manner, our Father, right? What do? We are instantly acknowledging him. He's our Father. He's our Daddy. He's Abba, which art in heaven. Gives his location. We acknowledge where he's at. He's in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. So what's that next thing? After we acknowledge him, we begin to go into praising him. Hallowed be thy name. So number two, praise him in our difficult circumstances. Amen. Psalm 28 and 7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. Praise is essential. Just like the prayer says, our Father, which hallowed be thy name, praise him, hallowed be thy name. And we go into that praise of who he is and acknowledgement of who he is. And then number three, worship him in our difficult circumstances. Worship him. Psalm 29 and 2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Oh yeah. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. So now we're praising him and then we enter into worship, right? Oh my goodness. And we worship His name, we worship Him, His attributes, we worship Him for the things that He's done for us. We praise Him in all these things. So in our, even in our circumstances, in our difficult circumstances, we need to remember and we need to do these things. We need to acknowledge Him, we need to praise Him, we need to worship Him. And number four, we need to trust Him in our difficult circumstances. And I love Job, the story of Job. We all know Job. Job had it bad. Job was in a difficult circumstance, right? He had a very difficult circumstance. First, he loses all his livelihood, right? You know, you lose your job. How many's ever lost their job? I've lost a job. I'm not afraid to say it. I've lost my job. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I'm in a difficult circumstance. Job had the same thing. He lost all his livestock. He lost his way of earning money. But not only that, he lost his children, all 10 of them. I mean, how difficult is that? I've watched a mother and a father lose one of their children or multiple of their children. And the pain and the agony that my mom and dad suffered when their firstborn daughter passed away. It's unimaginable. It's a difficult circumstance because no child is ever supposed to pass before their parents, right? That's what we say. So think about Job. He not only lost one, but he lost 10. He was in a difficult circumstance. And Job said in the 13th chapter, the 15th verse, he says, though he slay me, though God slays me, yet I will trust in Him. I will maintain my own ways before Him. Job is saying, Lord, I don't care what circumstances you bring against me, whether it's good, it's bad. Lord, I am going to trust you through it all. And though you slay me, though I die, I will trust you and I will keep the ways of you. I will continue to live a holy life. I will continue to live a godly life regardless of the situation. I will trust you. So trust Him in our difficult circumstances. So did you get those? All right. So now I want to get into my second teaching point tonight. I want to talk to you about a lifestyle of thankfulness leads to action. Remember what the man do? He began to walk, right? He began to walk and then he began to see. He began to notice that he was healed. So not only action produced a blessing, but the blessing produced an action. He went back to Jesus. And after asking Jesus to have mercy on him, the lepers, his response was to go and show the priest. The lepers had not even received anything at that point, and yet their faith in the words of Jesus compelled them to action. Yet the faith in the words of Jesus compelled them to action. Acting out of faith, they began to walk into the city towards the priest. One of them came back to Jesus and praised God, right? He realized the miraculous had just happened. And he came back to Jesus and he began to praise God. Just one healed leper came back to Jesus. So let me ask you, was he thankful? Amen. He was thankful. This one leper seen the transformation of his situation. He began to celebrate his miracle. Then he caught himself in the midst of the celebration and returned back to Jesus. He reversed his steps, put his family on hold, put the priest on hold. Remember, he's now shunned from all society. He's a leper. Jesus said, go show the priest. And that action, that faith in his words made him whole. And he began to praise God, and noticing that he had been changed, he went back to God. He put going to the priest on hold. He put his family, which he probably hadn't seen for some time, he put that on hold. And he went back right away, and he began to worship at Jesus' feet. He was public about it. He was loud about it. That's what the scripture said. He was loud about it. He wasn't shy at all. His response and his life situation were unique, but in the simplest sense of what he did, his thankfulness led to action. Amen. And boy, was that important. Why was this man so loud? Well, don't forget, this guy had been forced to yell for as long as he had leprosy. Unclean! Unclean! How long had he been yelling this? Had it been months? Had it been years? And if years, how many years? 5 years? 10 years? 15 years? We don't know. But he had yelled so long, he didn't know how to come to God. He didn't know how to come to Jesus quietly or even in a normal voice. All he ever knew was about being loud and announcing his uncleanness. So when he came back and he fell at Jesus' feet, he was louder than a normal person and he was praising God. Amen. He was loud about it. Amen. He was loud about the transformation in his body, and he was at the feet of the Almighty God and worshiping. Do you realize, or let me back up just a second, but Jesus asked him, he says, where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? Do you realize what this says? Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priest. Jesus never commanded that any of them express thankfulness to God or return to him, their healer. Nevertheless, this is what Jesus expects out of us. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Does not Jesus expect our thankfulness towards him? Does Jesus expect our thanksgiving? You better believe he does. And what kind of action... Let me point at you guys tonight, because I'm pointing at myself too. What kind of action is Jesus expecting out of you right now? What kind of action is Jesus expecting out of me? Has God's Holy Spirit been urging you towards some action? Has the Lord been tugging at your heart for some type of action, some step of faith, some leap of faith? Has he been dealing with you to do something? Has he compelled you to do something? This is an amazing point. Be sure you take time to think about it. What is God calling each one of us to do? What is the action that Jesus has asked us to do? He told the lepers, go show yourself. And in the midst of it, they were healed, and one went back to praise him. So be sure to be actually thankful for what Jesus has done. Be sure to gather everyone up in your house and let them know and tell them how thankful that you are that Jesus has done something in your life. Don't miss out on the opportunity to worship God this week, today, tomorrow, all the days for all of 2019 and through the end of your life. Be thankful to worship him. And you know what? It wouldn't hurt me to be loud about it. Amen. Amen. So we can show in action our thankfulness to God when we... There we go. One, when we live a lifestyle of serving others, that shows Jesus our thankfulness. I believe that one of the most profound ways in which we can truly give thanksgiving to God is through serving him by serving others. And listen to what he told us in Matthew 25, verse 40. He said, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. If you remember the story, the parable that he taught, he's just, you know, the people said, Lord, when have we seen you naked? When have we seen you homeless? When have we seen you without food or water? And he said, in that you have done it to somebody else, in that you have served somebody else, that you have clothed, that you have cooked, that you have done something for someone else, you have done it unto me. Thus we know that to give thanksgiving to God, we can serve him, and to serve him, all we need to do is serve others. It's so simple, right? This is really all it takes, just a little bit of planning and a little bit of personal sacrifice. And there are many, many ways that we can serve others. that we can serve one another. Opportunities will arise when the Lord knows that we are willing and ready and seeking to serve others. Number two, live a lifestyle expressing a expressing gratitude towards others. That shows Jesus our thankfulness too. So when others, what? When others serve us, when others help us, they in turn are serving God in their own way. And in that way, when we express our gratitude to those who serve us, we're truly showing thanksgiving to God. We can easily acknowledge the service of others by saying, "Thank you, Iggy. Appreciate that." Or we can send them a card. We got any card senders in here that love to send cards? Where's Sister Joni? Sister Joni, love her. She has a ministry of card giving. Amen? I love that woman for her ministry of card giving. Or we could shoot somebody a quick email or a quick text, right? Or even a phone call. Just to let them know, hey, thank you for whatever, right? Sometimes it's the subtle things that we do to express our gratitude. Good job, Joe. Appreciate it. Amen? Sometimes it's a smile. You know, John Maxwell says, I looked in the mirror one time and, man, I am not a good-looking guy. I am not. And quite honestly, I started looking in the mirror and go, I'm not a good-looking guy. But then I noticed, when John noticed, that he started to smile. And when he started to smile, when I started to smile, you know what? I'm not such an ugly feller after all. What do you think about that? So smile at people. It doesn't cost you anything. Wave your hand. Amen? Give somebody a nice warm embrace. It doesn't take much effort to say thank you. It really doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, it's two words in the English language. A smile, it doesn't hurt anybody, right? Your face is not going to crack and fall off. You actually look better when you smile. Can we try that once? Everybody look up here and smile. Somebody's keeping their head down. Okay, we won't call them out, Clint. All right, everybody's smiling. Okay. But the more that we learn to say thank you, the easier it becomes. The more that we smile, the easier it becomes, right? Living a lifestyle of expressing gratitude to others shows Jesus our thankfulness. The next one, live a lifestyle of rejoicing that shows Jesus our thankfulness. Now listen to this. Webster says, in Webster's dictionary, it says that rejoicing is defined as to experience joy, to experience gladness in a high degree, to be exhilarated with lively and pleasurable sensations, and to exalt. Do you think the leper that went back to Jesus was rejoicing? Oh yeah. I mean, he was loud, he was lively, and he was exalting God, rejoicing. And the scripture says, Paul says in Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen. So rejoicing is an action. Amen? It's an action of exalting God. So we want to show God a lifestyle of rejoicing to show Him our thankfulness. And the fourth one is live a lifestyle of singing His praises shows Jesus our thankfulness. Live a lifestyle of singing His praises shows Jesus our thankfulness. Psalm 61:8 says, so I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Wow. What? I will sing praises unto God daily. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the... Nobody's been joining me? Okay. Well, I give you some other psalms just to validate that this isn't a one-time thing in the Bible. There's some other psalms in there that say, hey, we are supposed to sing his praises. Amen. And I believe that God gave us music so we could offer thanks and praise him in a form other than the spoken word. Unfortunately, it's far too easy to sing the words of a hymn while our thoughts are somewhere else. When we come together to worship, we should be singing to the Almighty God with our full attention. No believer should be able to stand on a Sunday morning and start singing Amazing Grace and not be felt, not be heartfelt. They shouldn't be doing it, in a deadpan, flippant expression. Amazing Grace, I wonder what's for lunch today. What time do the Bears come on to play? I mean, but haven't we all done this? Look, let me admit it. I've done it, okay? I've done it. I have been worshiping God. Well, let me put that in quotes. I was worshiping God, singing, but my mind was somewhere else. It was not on God where it needed to be, where my focus should have been. I should have been thinking about the amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch sinner like me. I was blind to the mercy of God. I was blind to the grace of God. But one day, he opened up my eyes, and I could see how wonderful he was. Don't ever let me be a deadpan, flippant worshiper of God. This is the creator of the universe. This is the one who hung the stars with his very words. This is the one that hung on Calvary for my sins. I was awful. You don't know my life. You see me here at church and go, oh, look at Brother Terry. But you don't know me. You don't know where I came from. I wasn't raised in church. I've done some things that I'm not proud of and nor will ever speak of again. Because it's not the life that he gave me. That's not who I was. Because amazing grace, how sweet that sound, that saved a wretch like me. But you might be thinking, Brother Terry, I can't even sing. I like to sing tenor, though, 10 or 12 miles away. Iggy likes to sing solo, so low you can barely hear him. Amen. He said it tonight. I heard him. But yes, you can sing. Let me tell you, you can sing. You should sing. You need to sing. Why? Because it is a way of expressing our thankfulness to God. When you lift up your voice to God, you need never to worry about anyone's opinion of your musical abilities or talents. You're not performing for them. You're singing to the King. You're singing to God Almighty. You're singing to the one who saved your soul. You're expressing gratitude and adoration to your Heavenly Father. He is pleased by your praise. He's pleased by your worship. And his opinion is the only one that counts. Amen? Remember, it's God that told you to sing praises unto his holy name. So I'm going to do it, and you can join me if you want. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Yes, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Now see, I know I can't sing, but I'm singing unto God, and I don't care what you think about my singing, because his opinion is the only one that counts. Hallelujah. Can we get an amen? Amen. So in conclusion tonight, oh, look at that, under 2 hours. Some of you got nervous. I know you did. In this new year of 2019, I am more determined in living a life with an attitude of gratitude. Amen. I want to worship God. I want to sing his praises. I want to tell him how wonderful he is. I want to thank him for everything that he's done for me. I want to live with an attitude of gratitude. I want to help you in your walk. I hope you want to help me in my walk. I want to get to heaven with you. I want you to get to heaven with me. Amen. I want to be less selfish tomorrow than I was today. I want to put your needs in front of mine. In everything that I do, I want to acknowledge Him. I want to praise Him. I want to worship Him. I want to trust Him. And let me remember that as God's mercy is extended to all, let me extend mercy to all. God grant us. No. God grant me the strength to serve others more than myself. Let me show gratitude to those that have served me by expressing my thankfulness to them. Jesus, let there always be a song of praise on my lips. Let me declare your greatness. I will rejoice in all my situations, good, bad, beautiful, ugly, I don't care. I will rejoice in all my situations. And again, I say, rejoice. Would you stand with me? ...2019 is among us. And I don't know if God will allow us another day or not, but if He does, I want to live with an attitude of gratitude. Yes. I don't want to live like I did last year. I don't want to live like I did yesterday. Tomorrow I want to live with an attitude of gratitude. Amen. May God richly bless each one of you tonight. Would you take the handout? Would you stuff it in your Bible? Put it in your notes somewhere. And maybe this year, you might be going through a bad situation. Or maybe you'll just be fumbling through your Bible and you'll pull it out and go, ah, I remember that teaching at the beginning of the year. And maybe you'll pull it out and you'll begin to read through it again. And you'll put it in retrospective. Where am I at today? Am I really living a life of gratitude? Amen. You know, maybe December 31st, Lord willing, He lets us have one more year. Maybe December 31st, you can hold it up and say, I lived this year with an attitude of gratitude. Amen.